the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. It's 7 a.m. right at the top of the hour on Wake Up. We're so happy to have you with us this morning. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. And thanks so much for joining us. We hope you all have a safe and happy 4th of July. It's hard to believe it's already the 5th of July. Quick shout out to everybody who joined us last week. We had a great summer drive time. So thanks to all of those who volunteered, donated, called in, brought treats, all kind of wonderful, wonderful folks that made last week happen. So thank you to all of you. Let's start this morning with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, O Lord, that in the spirit of the Apostle Paul, we may pursue the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. For having learned it, St. Anthony Zakaria constantly preached your saving word in the church. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Anthony Zakaria, pray for us. I'm not that familiar with that St. Anthony. Yeah. That's not your paisano,
yeah, well,
right?
Believe it or not, he hung out in Padua as well.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll learn more about him.
That's right, with our saint of the day.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Weather-wise, you had a good 4th of July?
Yes, yes. It did. It rained a little in the afternoon. But
oh,
that's
it did?
Okay. Oh, it poured at our house. Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Never
about
saw it
4:30.
Drop. Yeah, okay.
Really?
Yeah, so, and that's how it's going right now. So hopefully everyone enjoyed their 4th of July weekend. For the most part, it was a nice day. There were showers here and there. But last night, I think all the fireworks shows were able to go off without a hitch.
I think so.
And today, we'll have scattered thunderstorms off and on throughout the day. In fact, chance of rain is 80%. High today is going to be 88, low 74. So the temperatures won't be in the 90s, but the humidity is going to still hang around us. Tomorrow we can expect pretty much the same type of conditions, maybe a little less chance of rain, but overall it's a scattered shower here and there to cool things off. Temperature-wise, Bay St. Louis and New Orleans already up to 83. Elsewhere, Covington at 79, Homme-Thibodeau 80, and in Baton Rouge it's 81 degrees. So keep the umbrella handy or a little rain jacket.
That's right.
If it's raining when you go to the grocery store or pick up the kids somewhere, stay in a car
around
for 10 minutes.
And it'll pass. That's right.
And then it'll stop.
That's right. Well, we have a great show for you today. We're going to hear from our friend Father Tat. He's the pastor of St. Jared Magella Parish in Baton Rouge. He's going to talk about the upcoming Blue Mass. We'll also hear from Lonnie Thibodeau. He's the director of communications for the Diocese of Homme-Thibodeau, and he'll give us the latest on the update of the Bayou Catholic Magazine, this monthly issue. Our friend Michael Acaldo with St. Vincent de Paul for Greater Baton Rouge will join us to tell us what's going on at St. Vincent de Paul. And Father Wade Menezes, you know him from Tuesday afternoons on Catholic Community Radio. He'll talk about his latest book, Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Catholic Teachings. Can't wait to hear from Father Wade.
Well, we need to hear more about those type of topics.
I was just going to say
you know.
You're right.
And,
there's a lot of confusing things in the news these days, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're wondering where Gabby is, she's taking a little hiatus, and she'll be back later on in the week, from what I understand.
That's right. That's right. Well, hopefully, right?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, though, she went and saw some liftoff at Cape Canaveral again.
Did she?
I'm pretty sure she did.
Maybe so.
She loves doing that.
Yeah,
she always comes back. We'll hear all about it when she returns.
That's right.
In the meantime, we're going to return. It's 5 after the hour. Don't go away. You're listening to Wake Up on a Tuesday morning.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
Any person in the vice grip of sin is helpless like this mute demoniac in today's gospel. Behind the scene was a dramatic tug-of-war for his soul between the possessing demon and the man's companions. Demons have the advantage over merely human compassion and virtue, until Christ intervenes, as he does in this narrative. Freed from the power of the devil, this man is now free to serve and love God. Where would any of us be were it not for the conspiracy of love and mercy behind our backs by those who carry us on the litter of their prayers? Proud intellectuals like the Pharisees are often blind to the truths that are obvious to those who are not caught up in themselves. And thus, George Orwell observed, "Some ideas are so stupid, only intellectuals believe them." The Pharisees boxed themselves in a prison that made it impossible for them to engage in God's mercy, who is as unpredictable as a raging fire. Those who do not repent cannot avoid God's justice. The depth of Jesus' compassion is captured in the Greek text, which literally says, "He felt pity for them in his bowels." In other words, the compassionate one was more afflicted by their suffering than the sufferers themselves. In contrast, false shepherds of every age, including those in the church, abandon the people in favor of their own religious theories and perversions. The literal translation graphically expresses the results. They were mangled and cast away like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus will heal human distress when he, too, will be mangled and cast away. All Christians are called to be workers in God's vineyard, not only priests and religious. But regardless of our state in life, unless we do what Jesus does as he does it, and by virtue of the power that flows from Christ, all human effort and planning in God's vineyard are nothing more than vain daydreams and a useless squandering of our energy. Then they become empty attempts at self-glorification. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Father Chris Decker, you're listening to Wake Up on a Tuesday morning, July 5th. Damian Colano along with Alicia Quibido. And we have as our special guest, Father Tat. He is pastor at St. Jared Magella Parish in Baton Rouge, here to talk about a special event coming up entitled The Blue Mass. Good morning, Father Tat.
Good morning, Damian, and good morning, the Catholic Radio.
Well, tell us all about, I love the fact that you are putting on a blue mass, and it's not to sing the blues, is it?
No. First, I want to say thank Bishop Luca, who given us this opportunity again, because, you know, we wanted to do this. We've been doing this since 2016, and we're kind of faithful to this. And so because of the pandemic, we didn't have blue mass in 2020 and 2021. So this time, the bishop gave us a permission to do this at St. Jared. So we're very excited and happy to do this on Sunday, July 17th at 10 a.m. right here at St. Jared, across the street from Tony Seafood and next to Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, you always like to mention those landmarks to make sure everybody knows where you're located. And it's the Blue Mass is to honor, support, and to pray for our first responders and their families, isn't it?
That's right. That's the number one purpose. As you know, that we have so many men and women sacrifice a lot of their lives and even risk their whole life, and not just that, their whole family involved in this. And so it's a lot of stress. And we thank God that we have the trust in our community. So we would love to extend this kind of invitation to not just the first responders, which is the police officer, also the sheriff, the firefighters, the EMS, and you name it, anyone that you could remember that, I'm thinking about, whenever I had a problem, of course, I have to call 911. I'm afraid of police. I have to put that way. But if I had a problem with my car in an interstate, you're talking about midnight, I hope, and then the police is somewhere,
That's right.
Before I even call them. So I feel like even truck tour, I remember in Chicago, boy, I drove a car only with three wheels. Suddenly, one of my wheels just popped out and rolling in front of my car. And before even call 911, a tow truck is just right behind me and rescued me from that interstate in Chicago.
Wow.
From airport.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that's like a raceway and during peak traffic hours in Chicago, for sure. Again, let me remind everyone, the Blue Mass, St. Jared Magella Church, Sunday, July 17th, 10 a.m., and Chef John Foltz is going to, after Mass, going to be preparing a jambalaya for everyone, huh?
That's right. I don't want to say surprise, but I came to visit John Foltz, sometime, and I brought this up, and he just voluntarily said, "Hey, we can do this."
Oh, nice.
Really?
Well, and
John Foss doing this.
Well,
and,
I tell you.
And
he's been a helping hand for you in a lot of ways over there at St. Jared. St. Jared Magella Church, Blue Mass, Sunday, July 17th, 10 a.m. Put it on your calendars. Father Tad, thank you for being with us this morning on Wake Up. It is 15 after the hour.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 5th. Today we celebrate St. Anthony Zakaria. Among the early figures in the Catholic Counter-Reformation movement, Anthony Zakaria was born in Italy in 1502. His widowed mother devoted herself to her son's spiritual education. Anthony received a medical doctorate at 22, and while working among the poor in his small town, he was attracted to religious work. Renouncing his rights to any future inheritance, Anthony worked as a catechist and was ordained a priest at the age of 26. Called to Milan a few years later, Anthony founded the Barnabite Order for Men and a Congregation for Women, both aimed at reforming the decadent society of their day. He preached with great vigor in church and street, conducted popular missions, and was not ashamed of doing public penance. Anthony encouraged such innovations as the collaboration of the laity in the apostolate, frequent communion, 40 hours devotion, and the ringing of church bells at 3 o'clock on Fridays. His holiness moved many to reform their lives. Anthony died in 1539 at age 36. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And welcome back to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. 19 after the hour. With us now is Lonnie Thibodeau, who is the editor of the Bayou Catholic Magazine over in Home at Thibodeau, a great publication and always filled with plenty of information. Lonnie, welcome and happy post-4th of July to you.
Well, hello, Damien. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing great, and I hope you are as well.
I sure am. Ready to go. Talk about where we have survived the fireworks, literally.
We did. We did. And we've been having the grandkids with us. So that's a different set of fireworks there as well. But having a lot of fun with them. Well, anyway, let's talk about what's in the publication. Priestly ordinations for two young priests in your diocese recently, Stephen Castile and Father James Rome, right?
Exactly. We had the ordination back on June the 4th, and Stephen Castile and James Rome were ordained. We were honored to have Archbishop Shelton Fobb return to us only for one day from the Archdiocese of Louisville, and he was our Bishop Emeritus Sam Jacobs. So it was a beautiful ordination at St. Francis Cathedral in Houma. Father Stephen is going to be working actually in about 5 seconds from my office. In the pastoral center, he is going to be a special assistant to the bishop's office. That's his first assignment. And Father James Rome is the associate pastor in my home parish, which is St. Bernadette in Houma. So these two gentlemen both came to the priesthood, to the vocation, a little bit later in life. Father Stephen's in his early 50s, Father James in his mid-50s, but they got there. It was a long, long journey for both of them, but they made it, and we are really, really excited to have both of them join us.
Boy, that is very unique, that late in life. I mm-hmm. think it's admirable. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Father Castile now, what is his background for him to be working, in the office like that so soon?
Interestingly enough, he was in the seminary very much, much younger days, then got out and was married. And then got a divorce, and obviously it was annulled over the years, and was working in the oil field, working for Shell Oil for 18 years, as a matter of fact. And coming out of that, decided to return to the oil field. Now, Father James Rome, a similar story. Also was married many years ago, again, divorced, annulment, and then was working. He was a CPA. Working in finance in and around the oil field. So these two gentlemen had a lot in common. Mm-hmm. Incredibly, amazing stories for both of these that they eventually ended up in the priesthood. We're just excited to have them. Now, if I could jump ahead for just a second, because we also have a story about the other ordination that occurred the same day. We have one transitional deacon, and that's Deacon Davis Ahim Bishawe from Uganda. Now, get ready for this. He's a medical doctor.
Wow.
He is a doctor in his home country who mm-hmm. came here to the United States and is now well on the road and hopefully, God willing, a year away from being ordained a priest himself. So an incredible story, a vocational story for all three of our ordinants that we had here, just a month ago.
Yeah, and great examples for others to follow. I love it. And speaking of priests, You had Father Carlos Talavera, who celebrated his 25th anniversary as a priest, right?
Yes, Father Carlos is a well-loved priest and pastor in our diocese. He's at he's the pastor of St. Anthony Parish in Bayou Black. He grew up in the Philippines, and kind of a similar story to some of our other Filipino priests. Grew up with daily mass. I'm talking like 4 a.m. daily mass. went to daily mass, became an altar server. Incredibly enough, here's a similarity to the previous story, thought very seriously about becoming a doctor himself, and then eventually wound up going into the seminary and becoming a priest. So congratulations to Father Carlos, 25 years as a priest here in our diocese.
And he's got his grandparents to thank deep down, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great story that Janet Marcel wrote in the July Bayou Catholic about his journey to the priesthood. And you're absolutely right. Those grandparents, played a very, very vital role in getting him to where he is today.
So as far as other columns, on page 30, there's a guest column on unwanted pregnancies. And, of course, that's top of mind for everyone right now. Share with us a little bit about that story and what they can pick up when they read it this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good friend, Amanda Garcia, who formerly worked at the diocese, she's now the executive assistant for Crossroads Pregnancy Resource Center in Thibodaux, wrote, we had her write this guest column prior to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And it is a very interesting article that kind of goes into, unplanned pregnancies happen. And in some cases, they cause a ripple in the lives of the expected women, the expected father sometimes, But she talks about the three things that people can do: pray, volunteer, and give. And those three things are very important. But there is a line, there is a one-sentence quote from Amanda in this story that was written probably 2 months ago, where she said, "We have been living in a pro-Roe culture now for 49 years. Soon that could change!" Exclamation point. Well, she was pretty prophetic, as it turned out. It did change, and we know there's still a lot going on, in front of the scenes and behind the scenes, but a great article by Amanda talking about what happens, in the case of an unplanned pregnancy now, especially in a post-Roe world that thankfully we're living in.
And she talks about a number of positive things people can do when a woman happens to have an unplanned pregnancy in order to save that child and do better things than abort the baby.
Exactly. And of course, all of us know about adoption and all of that. We need to give full credit, the Crossroads here, which is the agency here in our diocese that's most well known. And, we certainly thank, Amanda and Michelle Berry over there at Crossroads for everything they do. And, women who might be listening to this right now out there and who are in that situation or a family member, please contact Crossroads Pregnancy Resource Center in Thibodaux. That's a tremendous resource in our area.
And you have an in-depth article on the new superintendent of Catholic schools as well as the associate superintendent, right?
Yeah, we're very honored to have hired Dr. Mark Williams as our new superintendent. He is beginning officially in about a week and a half from now. He is coming to us from the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He's the associate superintendent in New Orleans of all the secondary schools. He's a former principal of Archbishop Shaw. And his most recent position is he is in charge of the 10 archdiocesan high schools, as well as the first point of contact for the 13 private religious order-owned high schools, if you follow that, in the archdiocese. So Dr. Mark Williams, we are honored and blessed to have him. And stepping up will be Jerry Byrne, who has been with us for the last year as a curriculum specialist. She will now be the associate superintendent in charge of curriculum and instruction. So we have a great, great team leading our Catholic schools now, Dr. Mark Williams and Jerry Byrne.
That's fantastic. And, yeah, we happened to mention that in just a brief headline. But you want to learn more about both. Great article in the Bayou Catholic magazine this week. Lonnie, one other article that caught my eye. Hard to believe it's almost a year since Hurricane Ida has come and gone in South Louisiana. But the devastation and construction and reconstruction still underway, isn't it, for your area?
Right. It is. And I know I've said this on the radio with you guys in the past. Here in our diocese, we had over $180 million of damage. And this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Our friends in Lake Charles know that from a couple of years before. But, of our 39 church parishes, 9 had major damage. 15 had moderate damage and 15 had minor damage. Of the 11 schools, 6 had major damage, 1 had moderate damage, and 4 had minor damage. The good thing about this story, page 32 in the magazine, it kind of takes you through the timeline of everything we've done from landfall on August 29th last year up until now, kind of the process of assessment, design, approval, bid, construction. And so that's kind of where we are. We're kind of more into phase, kind of between phase 2 and phase 3 of those 5 phases I just gave you. Mm-hmm. And it will probably take at least about another 2 years for us to become whole again, if we could use that phrase. Yeah, with 180 million plus of damage, it takes a long, long time. Coordination, obviously, with insurance and FEMA, and anybody out there who's had home damage knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, final 30 seconds or so, Youth Formation Leadership Summit is coming up toward the end of the month, correct?
Yep, July 22nd and 24th. We have these annually. We had a very successful one a year ago last summer, and it'll be at our pastoral center here in the diocese. And again, for anybody who is interested in that, in our diocese, who works in youth formation in any of our parishes or schools, you know, please go ahead and contact the diocese. And on our website as well, there's some information that you can find. Just go to our homepage, which is at htdiocese.org.
And again, where can they pick up the Bayou Catholic or go online to see it if they don't want to pick it up?
Sure, Damien. They can get it at any of our 39 church parishes. We have the magazines in quote-unquote in the back of all the church parishes that you go to. And we have a number of other businesses in the home of Thibodaux area. But you can go online in one or two places, either htdiocese.org, or you can go directly to bayoucatholic.org. And we have the new issue. And again, the cover picture, of course, is our former bishop, now Archbishop of Louisville, our Bishop Emeritus, our two new priests, and Father P.J. Madden, who is our diocese.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. We're so glad you're with us on this Tuesday morning, July 5th. We're joined this morning by our friend Michael Accaldo. Michael is the president and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Alicia and Damian. How are y'all today?
We are great.
Doing good, man. You had a good weekend?
Great. Had a great one. Good. I tell you what, this heat is something, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You do so much to provide for the needy in our communities. It is hot out there.
Yeah, we think about cold weather and keeping them warm.
Right.
But man, they got to stay cool and hydrated, right?
Yes.
No doubt about it. You know, we're so blessed. St. Vincent de Paul is, with the support of Catholic Community Radio and so many people throughout the entire area, you know, to provide shelter to men, women, children, and families. And you're right. Extreme temperatures, whether they're hot or cold, can really create challenges for those who are experiencing homelessness. And that's why it's so very important to get individuals and families, especially, off the streets. And so people can do that by supporting us through volunteer efforts, through collection drives. If you can imagine, any given night, we've got well over 100 individuals, children, families, moms with kids with us. And so if you've got a household of 100, 150 people, every night you need toiletry items. You need, you know, right now, anyone that wants to donate bottles of water, obviously with the heat, that is something that is extremely needed, as we not only provide for those we're giving shelter to, but also those who are experiencing unsheltered homelessness. You know, it's something that we are very much aware of in the summer months, and people can easily be a part of what we do by, you know, logging on and going to svdpbr.org and seeing the wonderful work that we do for the community.
Wow, you do so much for our community, Michael. Talk to us about how parishes in the Diocese of Baton Rouge have St. Vincent de Paul as committees, or how does that work when we're asked to donate to our parish, St. Vincent de Paul?
Yeah, St. Vincent de Paul Ministries, not only through the diocese, the 12 civil parishes of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, but also all throughout the world, have St. Vincent de Paul Ministries called conferences. And those conferences actually make home visits to those in need. And right now, whether it be St. Thomas More, Our Lady of Mercy, you know, so many of our parishes are blessed to have strong St. Vincent de Paul ministries, and whether it's like St. Aloysius, my home parish, these members of the society go out and make home visits to those in need and help with utilities, which are extremely high right now. We talk about the heat. Well, that impacts the budget of individuals who are barely making their rents, which are, by the way, going up as all costs are going up. Mm-hmm. And these ministries, they make those home visits, and they assist with so many, in our area, over $700,000 worth of assistance was given out last year. And it's over 400 St. Vincent de Paul members make those home visits. And although it sounds like a social service, service, it really isn't. It is truly a way that members of those parishes are going spiritually and answering Christ's call to, for I was hungry, you gave me food. So when St. Vincent de Paul members go into a home or help someone in need, they see the face of Christ. And as one of our one of our older members one time told me, he said, Michael, you know, if we do a really good job, not only do we see the face of Christ in those we're blessed to serve, but they also see the face of Christ in us. And so growing spiritually is what the society is all about. Easy to become a member. Look at your parish bulletin or call your parish to see if you have a St. Vincent de Paul ministry. And if you don't have a ministry, it's easy to join if you do. If you don't have a St. Vincent de Paul ministry, give us a call at our main office, and we'll work with you and your pastor to establish a ministry, because it really does make a big difference.
That's wonderful. And that help that, so when we support St. Vincent de Paul within our parish or a sister parish or neighboring parish, that goes to help people in need in that live in that parish, correct? That live in that geographic.
Yes, okay. Whether you're in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Gulfport, wherever you may be in the world, actually, because the St. Vincent de Paul Society is in over 140 countries, those dollars stay directly in that parish to help feed, clothe, shelter, provide utility, rental assistance, whatever it may be. So it's a real powerful way to reach out to people who are truly in need right there within your parish boundaries.
Okay, great. Now, Michael, you mentioned bottled water and other items for the folks that you see in the shelter daily. Where could our listeners go if they'd like to drop off water or drop off other supplies that you need, toiletries, et cetera?
Our main charitable campus, that's at St. Vincent de Paul, 220 St. Vincent de Paul Place downtown, or on that same block, 1623 Convention Street is our main shelter location. We, again, have four shelters, two for men, one for women and children, and one for families. And, right now we're right in the midst of next week kicking off our major Uniforms for Kids campaign. Yes. And certainly any St. Vincent de Paul location, not only on our main charitable campus, but also any of our St. Vincent de Paul campuses will take used uniform donations as well as new uniform donations. And Our Lady of Children's Health locations will take those used uniform donations as well.
So is that Our Lady of the Lake Children's?
Yes, or, Our Lady of the Lake. I'm sorry. It's early in the morning. I only had one cup of coffee. Our Lady of the Lake Children's locations. They do a great job, and they've been a sponsor of that event for many years now and helped us clothe a lot of children in need in this diocese.
Wow. We're visiting with Michael Acaldo. He's the president and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. Michael, about how many children do you all help annually with uniforms?
Over 9,000, in that 9,000 range, and that's, we give each child two uniforms. That's 18,000 uniforms. And of course, like with everything, we've encountered supply chain issues this year and increased costs. So this campaign is really probably more important than we've had in quite some time, and that's to say a lot with the pandemic and other challenges in front of us. So we encourage, again, we kick off the major part of our effort next Monday, and so we encourage everybody to visit us next Monday and go to our website, svdpbr.org, and help us to make a real impact in the local area and help us reach out to children in need and make sure they get into those school uniforms. Because with the rising costs, everybody's budget is impacted, but those who are low-income, hardworking people are especially impacted by these rising costs.
Yes, and so important for children to be at school ready in uniforms that fit them, ready to face the day. Michael Alcaldo, President and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul Baton Rouge, thank you so much for joining us. Let our listeners know that website one more time so they can check it out and support St. Vincent de Paul.
SVDPBR.org, and thanks for having us on again this month and letting us share the good news of St. Vincent de Paul.
Thank you so much, Michael. Keep on keeping on. Y'all are doing awesome work.
They do.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you. You too. Wow. So that is SVDPBR.org. We linked it in the comment section on our Facebook Live video. Check out St. Vincent de Paul. They're doing wonderful things in our community and in yours. Wherever you are, St. Vincent de Paul is there. Stick around. Father Wade Menezes joins us. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. Good morning. It's 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. We are thrilled to have our next guest. You hear him every Tuesday on Catholic Community Radio at 2 p.m. on EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. And you're going to hear him twice today because Father Wade Menezes joins us this morning. Good morning, Father Wade.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you doing? Great to be with you and Damian this morning.
Oh, I'm a little bit starstruck, I have to say. I listen to you on Tuesday, so to actually speak to you is wonderful.
Well, you can call in the show anytime and ask a really good question.
Okay.
You see, there you go.
We'll do that. We'll do that. Well, Father Wade, before we jump into your latest book, you are quite the astute father. You received a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Catholic thought, which I find fascinating. You have a dual Master's in Arts and Master's of Divinity degrees in theology, and then you have some secular degrees along the way in journalism and communications. You've got quite the tools in your tool box there.
Yes, I've been kept very busy over the years, and I still praise God that he took my secular degrees before I even considered the priesthood. He took my secular degrees in journalism and communications, and he has continued to have me employ them in my priestly work, so I just praise him for that beautiful opportunity to do that on behalf of Holy Mother Church.
That's wonderful. And Father Wade, you're a priest with the Fathers of Mercy. Can you tell us a little bit about them before we jump into your book?
Sure. We were founded in 1808, right after the French Revolution, in an effort to bring back the French people to practicing their Catholic faith following the havoc and destruction that the French Revolution blew to the faith in France. And the original Fathers of Mercy were diocesan priests, a little mission band of seven of them, who had such great success that the Archbishop of Lyon and Paris asked them to continue on preaching, even after the initial years following the revolution. And they had such success that they were asked to actually found a community, a religious order of itinerant missionary preachers. And that's the Fathers of Mercy today. Our official name is the Fathers of Mercy of the Immaculate Conception. We preach parish missions, retreats, conferences, and devotions throughout the United States, Canada, and Australia, primarily these three English-speaking countries. We have been into other countries as well, like Scotland and India, to do periodical work, such as the week-long canonical retreat for Mother Teresa's sisters in Calcutta, India.
Wow.
So we go where we're called, and everything from the week-long parish mission to father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, Catholic family conferences in hotels, like the St. Louis Marian Conference I was at just a few months ago, a beautiful weekend conference there at the Renaissance Hotel in downtown St. Louis near the airport. Over 1,000 Catholic families and friends there at that conference that weekend. So we cater to the need, whoever wants us to come in.
My goodness. So in all of your spare time, you're also an author. Your latest book has just come out, Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. So this
is
incredibly timing. I find that information that we're seeing in our secular world that talk about our faith seem to be a little skewed and can be confusing. So I'm interested to hear more about Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings.
Well, you know, Alicia, it's great to hear you make those comments about the current times in which we live, because that was my main impetus for writing the book. First of all, the book is 81 chapters. Each chapter is very short. There is no one chapter over 4 pages long. It's a hard-hitting, point-by-point, one-two punch, if you will, of these 81 different points of Catholic Christian doctrine as to the why of the particular doctrine, the WHY. Everyone seems to know what the Catholic Church teaches, that is to say, Catholics themselves, our Protestant brothers and sisters, and even non-Christians. For example, you ask most people, whatever their faith, or even agnostics and atheists, they will tell you that the Catholic Church is against abortion, mm-hmm. but they can't articulate the why. They cannot say why the Church teaches, per se, that abortion is always and everywhere an intrinsic evil. Intrinsic evil. And so this is a hard-hitting, in a good way, hard-hitting, one-two punch of 81 different points of doctrine. I've written this book for apologetical purposes. I've written it for educational purposes. I've written it for devotional purposes. It's a great text. Let's say a person makes a weekly holy hour to the Blessed Sacrament exposed at their parish's Eucharistic Adoration Chapel, the Perpetual Adoration Chapel. They can go to their weekly adoration hour and take on 2 or 3 chapters each week and learn more about the faith. And that was my reason. I also wrote it for high school theology courses. It's great for high schoolers. It's great for directors of religious education, DREs in parishes with their catechumens, their adult catechumens, who are entering into the church at the Easter Vigil. And so there's several audiences here. Also, Book of the Month clubs at parishes, even though a parish Book of the Month club wouldn't get through it in 1 month, mm-hmm. they could take it on for 2 or 3 months and have the members of the Book of the Month club be committed to 2 or 3 chapters a week. And let's say they meet every Wednesday morning in the parish hall at 6 a.m. before they go off to work to their work days. They can discuss those 3 short chapters Wednesday morning during the coffee clash and then go off to work. So it's also designed to be a Book of the Month book as well at parishes. So I'm very, very excited about it. And the 2 main reasons why I wrote it is that, number one, again, everybody seems to know what the church teaches, but very few can articulate in a succinct way the why of the teaching in question. And number two, to convey settled doctrine, especially in a time of these diocesan synods that are taking place now in preparation for the big international synod, I believe in October of 2023 in Rome. And this is wonderful. I'm thrilled about the synod, both at the diocesan level, parish level, and also the international level. But we seem to be spending a lot of time, I've been hearing from laity, singles and marrieds, who have been going to their parish synod in preparation for the diocesan synod, which is in preparation for the international synod in 2023. And they're saying, you know, we went the other night, it was 3 hours long, we spent 2.5 hours talking just about this one doctrine that's already settled, that somehow it can change. Why are we giving the people false hope? We have scripture, tradition, the magisterium, the words of Jesus Christ giving us this beautiful teaching to lead us to God, and yet it ends up being a gripe session. Yeah. And it's very, very sad. And so I'm hoping the book will clear through some of those muddy waters.
Oh, wow, wonderful. So, and you say that you not only will learn about these, but you'll be able to share the meanings of the sacrament and of sacred liturgy. And I'm assuming you mentioned that it's for all age ranges, so it's pretty, it's an easy read, would you say?
Yes, I would say definitely from high school, freshman on up, definitely. Okay. And you're right. I have the 81 chapters, Alicia and Damian, broken down into 5 categories: morals, dogma, ecclesiology, sacraments, and liturgy. And so those 5 categories encompass the 81 chapters. And I'll just share a few of the chapter titles with you that I think people will especially enjoy from my preaching on the road. I've had people already come up to me, tell me they've appreciated these chapters and or have written letters to me and told me they appreciate the book, especially in light of these chapters. For example, the importance of a rightly formed conscience and how that is achieved. Mm-hmm. The importance of making an annual spiritual retreat, whether single, married, or a consecrated religious, or widow or widower. Mm-hmm. How about the difference between mortal sin and venial sin? How about the theology of the body in a day and age of transgender ideology?
Wow.
How about the harmony of faith and reason? The body-soul compositeness of the human person? Why is it wrong for a man and woman to cohabitate before marriage? The Antichrist, the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, the ministerial priesthood and the baptismal priesthood. How do they work together? How are they different?
Father Waite, our guests are going to have to pick up your book. We're running out of time. They can visit.
Oh, darn.
I know. SophiaInstitute.com is where you can find the book. Father Waite, before we let you go, could we ask you for a closing blessing?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Catholic Community Radio listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. And as I always end Open Line Tuesday, St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. Thank you so much, Father Waite Menezes. Check out his new book at SophiaInstitute.com. Join us tomorrow. We have a packed show for you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Have a blessed Tuesday.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.